I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I'm Caitlin
Brodnick.
I'm
Sue Smith.
and we love scams. Guys, we love scams. We love this opening.
We nail it the first try every time.
I'm so happy to be here.
Nailed it. What can
we
I say?
We nailed it. We are a podcast about scams, and we're not experts. We're scam experts. So we just like to have fun. My uncle said it's like drunk history for scams. And I was like, that's a great review.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's perfect. Drunk history with two sober girls for scams.
I know. Two girls who are as far away from alcohol as possible, but emotionally still there. We had a review that said, I have a baby voice. And I think it's so funny because I went to theater school and they constantly were trying to push me to have a deeper voice. And they would cast me as old men in Shakespearean like Shakespearean monologues. They always gave me an old man, like Measure for Measure. I was like crying about my daughter, and it never worked. I was like, it's just, I'm naturally this way. And I think, yeah, people think it's fake, and I'm like, we've tried. I've had an institution try to make my voice deeper, and it doesn't work. But thank you, everybody.
But I don't think your voice is that, like,
I don't know, girl.
Doesn't sound disingenuous.
Thanks.
It's who you are, you know.
I know. We were just saying, I can't read comments anymore.
Well, I was reading our comments and we had some negative comments. And it's like, if you can't say anything nice, maybe don't say anything. But
people don't like women. But they like enough to like sign in and tell us. I know. But guys, we are talking about scams today.
Anyway,
besides that. Well,
enough about our grievances.
I'm so excited for our guest today because I openly told her I'm a fangirl of hers. I've read so much of her stuff. She has
amazing style.
She's so cool. Guys, follow her on Instagram. Read all of her articles. Learn about her cool father and her mother. I mean, I'm like deep in her life, which is embarrassing.
Well, I didn't go that deep, but
she's written about it, so I've read it and I love it. Your mom's so cool.
Her mom is her own world force.
It's they're amazing articles. So let's give a in-studio round of applause for Alexis Chung.
Yay! Hi. Welcome, Alexis.
Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you for having me. I was telling Kate.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, that I basically feel like I scammed my way onto the show because I don't actually follow scams that deep.
But you wrote, so
how
Alexis,
dare you?
I know.
No. I just,
but it
Alexis
felt fitting,
here,
right?
Yes. Well, she's here because she wrote a great piece on the style of scams, which is bringing us, which is why I'm wearing a smoky eye today, which is just like eyeliner that I rub all over my face. And we were talking about scam
Which is
style.
Why I did brush my hair and put on CC cream, which is a lot more than I usually
a
do.
A lot, guys.
Guys, you're doing so much.
We're doing a lot for Alexis. And yeah, Alexis wrote a great piece in Vanity Fair about scammer style. And it, you know, it applies to men and women. And there's a lot of discussion now because it has become its own look. And I actually think it's like each scammer sort of has a power suit in a sense. You know, that like that. Well, you know, like Hillary Clinton's power suit. Like it was very
a white
much
pants suit.
Yes. It's very much like, yeah, a look that you really grasped. And I just loved reading that because I appreciated it.
Thank you. I mean,
yes,
do you guys
I
want a little bit of background on how that
Please.
Came to be? So Vanity Fair, what month is it? It's May. They, because they're print, they work out on like a crazy extended schedule. Yes. So my editor was like, we're working on the September issue soon. Do you have any ideas? And so for anyone who's seen like the September issue in Vogue or like knows anything about fashion, that's kind of like the biggest issue of the year. And so I was thinking about it and, okay, biggest fashion issue of the year, it tends to be like the most aspirational type of stories or fashion. Like sometimes, I don't know if they actually do it in September, but Vanity Fair has their like infamous kind of the best dressed in the world. And
yeah,
that's
and like the fall wardrobe, like what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I
and the magazine weighs like 22 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's all ads.
Epic.
It's my
There's
favorite.
Like no
Epic.
Writing. It's
I love it.
All
my
photos.
Birthday's in September, and so I would always be like, I have the best month for a magazine. As a kid growing up, I thought it was the coolest month.
You could just stack them all and have like a birthday cake.
But
basically I was thinking about this and I was like, okay, it's a September issue. Like what would be an aspirational story to put in here, because I grew up very far away from New York. I grew up in Hawaii, for anyone that doesn't know that, which like does not have fashion really. I think recently it has, but when I was growing up, it was very much like you go to the beach, you wear a bikini, like you don't wear shoes. Like I didn't have closed-toed shoes until I moved here, basically.
Wow.
Stop it.
No, yeah. Like aside from running shoes, like there's no need. So that was like
such a cool life.
One of the first things I had to buy.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, well, there's nothing more aspirational than a scammer.
Yeah.
And because of all the stories that have been going on, like I'd heard about Elizabeth Holmes' turtlenecks like millions of times. And Adele V, of course, also Sorkin, was known for just the way that she would dress. And she had that very kind of classic downtown, like rich person type of look.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Billy McFarland, who actually I have a friend, I think, went to school with him. So I was talking to him about this over Christmas. But he was like born of privilege. So he didn't even have to try to look like someone. He just was like, oh, I can do it. And everyone's like, yeah, you're a white male. Of course you could do it. And then, of course, that devolved very rapidly. And so like through the course of like talking this out with my editor, like it was very timely to
that
talk
is.
About it right now.
Yeah.
And then we went back a little bit further and there was like Michaela and Tariq Salahi who snuck into the White House.
That was crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, they're not like scammers in the traditional sense. I mean, they kind of are maybe. Yeah. They were shady for
shady,
sure.
Creepy.
Like
and privileged.
Yeah. So
but
privileged.
They scammed the president. They scammed
the
president.
Secret Service.
The Secret Service.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for anybody who doesn't know, these two came in during a dinner for
a state dinner.
For the Prime Minister of India. I'm
I don't
saying
know
that wrong.
If it was for the Prime Minister of India, but in that picture, he's
he
like looking
there.
On as Michaela's shaking Barack Obama's hand.
And she's definitely wearing a sari.
She is wearing
a bright red sari.
And also she was doing the Real Housewives of D.C. at this time.
Oh,
so
this
is
how I know about it.
An entire episode devoted to like her getting ready for this thing and like being in the salon. And the producers are like, do you have the invite? And she's like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, let me go look for it. And she just like pretends like she can't find it. She like forgets what someone asked her for. And the entire time, like, they just don't have invites. And people are like, how did you get an invitation? And wow. They're just kind of like, well, you know.
And she has platinum blonde hair, tall, yes. Thin, looks like an ex-model.
She calls everyone love. That was my favorite part.
Does she have a British accent?
No.
Ugh.
She's also dating the lead singer of Journey now, or like she's married to him. Yeah, so they like had a love affair, I think, before, and she went back to him. Their whole like relationship is its own story.
Wow. Yeah, so that's where Alexis starts out her article, and it's just so you gotta read it, guys. You gotta read it. You gotta go stalk her online. mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are also wanting to cover Anna Delvey Sorkin today because Sue and I have wanted to do this for a while.
This is one of the scams that made me first want to start this podcast because I read so much about it about a year ago when she was at peak scam. Mm-hmm. And I was just amazed by her. Like, I'm getting chills just talking about it.
It was the summer of scam.
It was the summer of scam by her arrogance. And like, she just went so big with her scam. Like,
she did.
She just, it's not like she was going to the Gap. Like, she was going to Acne and Supreme and like Alexander Wang and just shooting for the stars. And I just admire that about her.
I know the ballsiness, and I guess the ballsiness of a woman is different than the ballsiness of a man. Like, I see Billy McFarland and I'm like, you can go to hell. And Anna, I'm like, girl, you did some
good
fun
stuff.
Good for you. I mean, I don't like, so we'll go into the details. She scammed on so many different levels. Some were sort of weirdly admirable. Mm-hmm. And I think like the zeitgeist right now believes that if you can scam super rich people out of money that they won't even notice, it's sort of forgivable. But then there are other scams that she scammed people that she befriended. And
that's
so
shitty.
Yeah. And her, like all of our scammers we've covered, every scammer has been incredibly charismatic. Mm-hmm. And magnetized to whoever they can start to use.
Yeah.
And one of these articles is from, was it something Williams? Barbara Williams? Elizabeth Williams?
Rachel Williams.
Rachel Williams.
Vanity Fair.
In Vanity Fair. Oh, yeah. And Rachel Williams, a writer and a photo editor, she said, of Vanity Fair, got scammed by her and ended up footing a bill for $62,000 for a trip to Marrakesh, and it was more than she made in a year. Yeah. Because Anna... We can go back. Anna told everyone that she was a German heiress and she would pay them all back. And it's so complicated because she has money in offshore accounts and in Europe, and she has to transfer it into US dollars. And so all of that stuff, sort of this very loving, charismatic, girlfriendy vibe that she would get you back. And then she never did.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And then I'll say like the
but
front.
I don't.
Yeah, and the front of the scam is she did have a, we can talk about all the details later, she did have a cash flow. So she was at a lot of points fronting checks for people, buying clothes, like really expensive things, because she did scam her way into getting a good sum of money. Mm-hmm. And then she could lie about everything else. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
you want to go into it?
Let's go into it. Okay. So we are in like February of 2017. Anna Delvey is her alias. She her real name is Anna Sorkin. Mm-hmm. She's staying at the 11. She's staying at the 11 Howard Hotel, and she befriends a concierge there named Nefertari Davis, who goes by Neff. And she becomes good friends with Neff, and she bribes the whole staff. She gives them tons of cash. To befriend her and to kind of like look the other way. Meanwhile, they don't have a working credit card on file for her. She gives them a fake credit card. So this is a hotel that she's staying in a low end room, and it's $400 a night.
Yeah.
She's befriending the staff. She's taking them out. She's taking Neff on shopping sprees to like stores in Soho. I think 11 Howard's in Soho. She becomes called the Soho Grifter, which is great. it's a great. So then she's staying at 11 Howard. She's having dinners at the restaurant downstairs where she's inviting notorious like New York people. She invites Macaulay Culkin. She invites Martin Shkreli. All these people. And basically she tells them she's a German Russian heiress. And she seems like she has a lot of money and people buy it. That's basically what's happening.
And she really, like, she treats everybody. People were saying, so what was really interesting, so Neff was interviewed in the New Yorker article, that was the, or New York Magazine article, that is the infamous article that everybody is referring to, that it was common for super rich people to befriend the help because they didn't have that many people around. It sort of reminded me of like Bethany Frankel, like you kind of pay people to be your friends.
Oh, like her driver, Kevin.
I know, that's one of the guys that's gone. I know, crazy. So it's sort of, I've seen that in super rich people that you sort of, or you're bored or lonely. And Neff was saying that that's really common. And so Anna would give her $100 cash every time she did a favor for her. So she would also do that. She found a way to connect with all the staff members and would do that as well, like tipping Uber drivers, tipping people in restaurants, just throw $100.
Go ahead. And I think the thing is, no one questioned her because you don't question rich people.
Well, when people hand you $100 and it's a real dollar bill and they're like, oh my God, you're so amazing. There's just this like warm flood of like, wow, I am. You know, I've been waiting to be handed a $100 bill all day.
And here's the financial compensation to prove it.
Yeah, consistently. Mm-hmm.
And just like had like wads of hundreds and would just throw them out. And sometimes even when she would like leave someone with the bill, I think with Neff, they went to a dinner and it was like $250 something, let's say. At, I think, St. Ambrose, and she like had to transfer money from her savings account to front it.
Yeah.
Anna paid her back like, and then some.
Yeah, she paid her back like threefold, she said, in cash. Mm-hmm. So it was super confusing. And then she, well, what we later found out is that she like forged bank documents to send out to get loans. So she would ask for a loan and then she would have a fake bank document that said this is how much she had in her a fake bank account. And so then they would transfer money and sometimes it didn't work, but if it did work, she would transfer that money back and then she would immediately take cash out of that account. So as soon as she got a loan, she would cash it as much as she could out before anybody caught on.
Which was so smart.
It's terrible, but like to take that money out immediately, like she knew what she was doing.
She also had a fake like family money manager.
She did.
Yes.
With an AOL account.
An AOL account. And someone's like, are you affiliated with like UBS? And she goes, no, he's like the head of my family.
Yes.
Like
personal account. Mm-hmm. And then she said he died. When they started asking questions.
Peter Haneke or something like that. And then someone said later, oh, he's dead. Please don't refer to him anymore or something like that. So good.
And that was her the whole time. Yes. And so with this, like, so she was lying to everybody. She had this cash flow. And so she bought incredibly expensive outfits. Mm-hmm. And but she never paid for any living expenses.
No,
never.
Never. And just had I think she had 12 credit cards, it said. She had a booklet of credit card numbers, and there was 12 in there. So she had, like, 12 credit cards. None of them were working or maybe had, like, weird amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
she would drop those because you need a credit card on file, but they don't charge you till the end of your stay, and so she would stay.
Well, when she was friend with that bill that she handed over to Neff, she literally gave a guy, the waiter, 12 different credit cards.
Yeah.
At which point are you just like, that is insane? But I guess with rich people, we just think, oh, of course they have that many.
Yeah. When I think a really rich person would not want to have like that much sort of exposure to their money. I feel like you'd want to keep it really locked down and have like a couple that or two maybe. And then the other things are credit cards you keep at home that have your other. I don't know. Like all these things were sort of. She was just so impressive to everyone. It was so exciting. And I think it's like, it is that era of like, let's all act like we're very comfortable with wealth and not question it because I want her to think I'm just as rich. Or I don't want to appear like I'm out of my league.
Yes.
And she's not at all rich. She's from Russia and she grew up in a small town in Russia and her family actually asked to not be like named because the town is so small. They don't want to be
They don't know yet.
So she scammed 11 Howard Hotel. And then when they were on to her a few months later, she scammed the Beekman Hotel. And then she scammed the W Hotel, which are all like expensive, fancy hotel, which is crazy. And then when they figured it out, when the managers kind of like were like, the jig is up, she bought all of their domain names, like SueSmith.com or like whatever. And she said that that's a trick she learned from Martin Shkreli.
yes,
so that they would pay her one day.
Because she said, and I'll only give it to them for $1 million.
Yeah,
so
I love it.
That's crazy. Also, like, what hotel manager is like, I don't know. I'm just like, who is going to spend $1 million for their domain name?
I don't know.
No one. The best thing, too,
Martin Shkreli.
Martin Shkreli was at one of these dinners, and when New York Mag called him, also probably from Rikers, where he is detained.
Yes.
He's like, she made me feel like a nerd, even though I had all of this, like, national exposure.
Right.
That was the type of kind of effect she had on people, even though, like, people say she wasn't that pretty and she wasn't even nice.
She was kind of mousy. Yeah. I think she's like a Lisa Loeb of like current scams. She had like big, thick glasses. She kind of was
Celine, by the way.
Yes. And I heard that she's finagled away to keep her Celine glasses in prison with her.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, she has to see.
I know. So, okay, guys, if you're confused, Kate Gillen, our producer, doesn't know any of this. So I'm going to ask you really quickly.
Okay.
Is there anything confusing? We're kind of doing some broad strokes.
I would like to know, like, where she came from. You kind of roughly touched on.
Yeah.
Like, how did she get to New York? Is there any information?
Yes.
On that?
Sue, do you have those notes up?
Yeah. So she she came to New York after interning at a magazine called Purple, which is apparently fancy and trendy, and I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, so Oliver Zamm was the editor in chief, and
Let's back up really quick. Yeah. She was born in Russia, then she went to school in Germany.
Yeah.
And she at 16, I believe. She was in boarding, or maybe younger, she was in boarding school in Germany. And then she got an internship in Paris. And this is at where Purple. She like clicks with all the highbrow people. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Alexis.
No, yeah. And so Purple Magazine, Oliver Zamm, he's like friends with Andrea Saraiva, who's like kind of a graphic French graffiti artist, friends mm-hmm. with all of these models. They would basically just take like nightlife photos of them partying with all these beautiful people. So it was very much like a place where you could become connected to mm-hmm. kind of the downtown New York international art set.
Yeah. And then I think she sort of burned those bridges as well. Something happened. Like then she came to New York. Like, she was done with that.
She came to New York on a tourist visa.
Right.
And she had this whole idea of starting, well, a charity called the ADF, the Anna Delvey Foundation. And it was going to be an art house, like a Soho house, art gallery with a membership. Like, yes. So, and she wanted to have branches in New York, LA, London, Hong Kong, and Dubai. And then she starts looking at properties, and she wants to lease a 45,000 square foot property on 22nd and Park that is owned by the developer who also owns 11 Howard, which is the hotel she's staying in. So she kind of tells hotel staff at 11 Howard, like, I know this guy, Abby Rosen. I know the owner. I'm leasing his property on Park and Madison or on 22nd and Park. And they're like, well, OK. And they're not going to question it. So she's in town to like start her art foundation named after her. And she needs a lot of money to secure the lease on this thing. And that's what happens when things start going south for her.
Yeah. And she kind of goes back and forth. Like, she sort of has weirdly figured out the immigration rules. She'll get a visa, and then she has to be out of the country to reapply. So she'll do these, like, exotic trips. But it's really just because she doesn't want to get caught by ICE. And I almost said ISIS. not them either. Nobody wants to get caught by ISIS.
No.
Sorry. No, she doesn't want to get caught by ICE. So she goes back and forth. And
yeah, so I think it's, like, after her visa expired, she befriended this videographer at Vanity Fair
a photo editor
who was going to create a documentary about her journey to start the Anna Delvey Foundation.
That's a different person. Wait, hold on. It's confusing. The girl Williams is a photo editor, but then she also befriended a documentarian. She also has a documentary
filmmaker there as well.
There was the life coach, the photographer, and then and Neff.
No, Neff didn't go.
Not on this one. This one is this is after she kind of burned. So Anna, like many of our con artists, like kind of burn bridges and get like really close with friends, and then these really rich people, they've said that they've sort of like forgotten that she hasn't paid them back, and they'll like miss like a couple thousand dollars. But if you're like this heir to other in fortunes, you don't really notice it. So at this point now, she's with Williams, who's the photo editor from Vanity Fair. Her visa is running out. So she says, let's take a trip to Marrakesh, based on this Khloe Kardashian Instagram, or like where Khloe Kardashian went. So she also said that she is planning to make a documentary on her life. So she hires a documentary filmmaker, her personal trainer, who she's also using as like a life coach, who's also like a mother figure. So she's like paying to take care of her, and Williams. Mm-hmm. And so they all go over there, and it's so similar to Billy McFarlane for the Fyre Festival. So he was like, guys, let's just like have a documentary film following us. These scammers want to be, have every inch of their life photographed and copied. So yeah, when the Vanity Fair article, when she's talking about this problem, is when it really sort of spurred, and the reason she had to take this trip to Marrakesh was because her visa was going to expire. So she had to leave and then come back.
Right. And she's not staying at like an Econo Lodge in Marrakesh. She picks a $7,000 a night. That can't be right. That just sounds so unfathomable. $7,000 a night hotel with a private butler in Morocco.
And it has a pool where they're staying. And the idea, and like at first it was probably like an Instagram like dream. And she, they said, Williams writes that like she just wanted to be around a bunch of spices and take pictures in caftans and stuff because she just wanted, and she openly was like, I want to Instagram this.
But honestly, who doesn't want to be surrounded in spices with caftans?
I know, it's beautiful.
And post it on Instagram.
It's beautiful.
Spices.
The glam. So she, so they are all staying in this hotel, and it sort of all starts to crumble because the personal trainer gets like a stomach virus and has to go home immediately. And Anna can't pay for the flight. And so the Vanity Fair, I believe she fronts the bill.
Yeah, so the woman, the trainer, has to leave like 2 or 3 days into the trip, which in hindsight she said was like God's intervention.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they continue on this trip, and when they're about to pay, Anna can't pay. Her credit cards are declined. And they're saying it's like a very scary situation because these like goons basically show up.
Yeah,
and
like the hotel security like won't leave. They come into the room and they sit down. And Anna is just constantly sort of doing that fake on my cell phone, clicking like, through, looking busy, looking stressed out, making phone calls. And Rachel Williams is there just like so uncomfortable because this is the first time this extreme has happened. And they were not fucking around.
They were goons pounding down the door in Morocco. And she was
scared. And they just sat there. They just stayed there. They're like, we're not leaving. And so that like added pressure, and Anna looking like she's having a breakdown. And I think Anna was constantly, they said she's like on the verge of a panic attack. The personal trainer said that she'd be like, I don't have anywhere to go. Life is so hard. Like, and she was 25, 26 at this time. So it is also a lot of 25, 26 year olds do have many life crises. It's a hard time. I think
she was in too deep. Hundreds of thousands of dollars to various international banks.
We're all like that.
And
so it's so tense that Williams has to pay the balance of $62,000
on her credit card
on her Amex,
which is more than she makes in a year.
I want to know who has that kind of credit card limit. That's my whole thing with this story.
Well, this is what she said. She said Vanity Fair has often asked her, or with her job, she's paid and they've paid her back. Like she's had an expense account in a sense, and like I've had that at certain jobs where you will pay for it and then you invoice the office.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So she said she had no doubt that she would be paid back, but I don't think ever in this much. So that credit card balance is huge.
Yeah. But who has the limit? Is that normal?
I don't know, guys. I'm not rich enough.
$65,000 on a credit card?
Yeah, I know. And so this is, so
sometimes I try to sign up for a credit card and they're like, your limit is $300. $65,000.
Cool. Guys, we should do that. We should get credit cards. That's what the moral of this is. And then, so Rachel Olt was paid $5,000 back by Anna at the end of the day. Mm. And this was the start of some of the many court cases that went out against Anna. And so she tried to get her convicted for larceny. Is that the word? Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes. The case was dismissed.
Yeah.
She didn't get it.
So what is going on is when she's trying to lease this building for her Anna Delvey Foundation for her art ventures, because she fancies herself an artist or a curator of fine art, I would think. This lease is very expensive, so she needs a loan of $22 million in order to get this lease.
Yeah, is that crazy?
Caitlin,
our producer, is like vomiting.
$22 million. And that doesn't scare her. She's just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get this loan. And then what happens is one of her finance friends referred her to Joel Cohen, who was the prosecutor of Jordan Belfort, who was the Wolf of Wall Street. So yeah. Joel Cohen becomes her friend.
And these are like people that, what's also interesting is that she's running in a crowd of people like, yeah, we do this. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like I know the guy that's going to help you out. Like, it's sort of this funny world that like once you're inside, they're like, we have the perfect prosecutor, you know, the perfect representation for you. We know she was really smart at befriending really powerful business people and like famous lawyers or sons of famous architects. And like she would just sort of weasel her way in. And I feel like sort of like in a puppy dog face, be like, I need your help. You're the only one who can help me.
Yeah. So then Joel Cohen, who's Wolf of Wall Street, puts her in touch with Andy Lance, who has experience with this. And this guy, Andy Lance, this is all he does, is he gets loans for people who are rich but need them, and rich with dreams and mm-hmm. maybe not with money and need money. So Andy contacts all these banks.
Caitlin's confused. Wait, hold on. Time out. What's wrong, Kate?
No, I'm just like, this man exists.
Yeah. So what he does is it's sort of like, it's this idea of like these dot-comers or these entrepreneurs that they know that they will get the money by investors later. Like, it's sort of this, the idea that Billy had, similar to like, don't worry guys, I have really rich friends, so I can't front 20 million right now, but I'm good for a couple million, and then I have 15 friends that are also millionaires. So that's the circle that in, that's how they get sort of the loans.
So Andy Lance puts her in touch with several large banks, including City National Bank and Fortress Investment Group, because Andy knows these people and he puts her in touch with them. And then Lance tells these banks that he needs these loans because her personal assets, which are quite substantial, are outside the U.S. Mm-hmm. in foreign banks.
In Germany.
In Germany with a bank called UBS.
Is that a real bank?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I kept reading it as USB because I'm dyslexic, and I was like, that's funny. My bank's also USB. Like, I just was like, what a dumb name. But I'm the dumb one. Okay.
UBS. And then so he said that he would get a letter from UBS saying that she had this money. That, like, so her foreign her Swiss bank, it's a Swiss bank, sent a letter saying that this money was real, she's good for it, these are her real existing assets. We later find out in her court case that she forged this letter from UBS.
Mm-hmm. It's all fake.
And it's all fake and doctored these. So, go ahead.
But she would take, sometimes it worked. She didn't get all of the $22 million, but she would get like $100,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And then that is what she would live off of, and because she would cash out as much as she can, but keep some on her credit card, and it was like on a Citibank card. And so it's crazy. And she forged documents, which is super illegal, but it was like a really smart, I don't know, it's like smart and insane and terrible, like it's nuts. And looking at this, and you sort of go like, well, how could all of these people be duped? And a lot of people talk about her look and her style, because the ultra wealthy are people that don't always want to appear ultra wealthy. And mm-hmm. so they also sort of always want to look like sort of tired and exhausted and like overwhelmed by how hard their life is, even though it's not hard at all. And they'll wear like athleisure.
Mm-hmm. How do I say athleisure? Mm-hmm.
And they'll wear, you know, hair really messy and like clothes really schlubby because they're like, I'm just so rich. Like I'm dripping in everything. I don't have time or care to like try and like keep up appearances like a poor person would, like try and look more rich. So that is, and that's an actual thing that like very wealthy people will look like total garbage. Think of like Justin Bieber, like he just wears hoodies, or Ariana Grande is in like, I mean, her face is plastered, pulled back, but like her, she wears like the largest hoodie and heels. Like they just sort of look like disheveled and sort of this like graceful, like luxurious, like Marie Antoinette, like I'm just here trying to get by because I'm so wealthy. And they said on Twitter, one of like the big red flags that people like noticed for her is that her hair looked yep. so gross. Like it looked really messy. And they're like, any wealthy person would have like a hair treatment or have like perfect hair. Oh. Your clothes can look bad. Your makeup can look even like fuzzy. But the hair wouldn't be super frizzy or frayed. They would get like regular haircuts or have like a hairstylist on their payroll.
Yeah.
And I think there's like the, what's the treatment that Kate Middleton has, like the keratin mm-hmm. treatment, which is like
a straightening
mm-hmm. and it's like a permanent straightening that makes it look permanently silky. And that's what like a lot of the wealthy, the royalty do, so that they can like walk out of their apartment and it falls nicely. So Twitter uncovered that.
I didn't know
they started. Yeah, Twitter started the little like feelings of untrust.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I love There's it. Also just this week how scammers trick people into thinking they're wealthy, yeah. which was also on the cut, and it's by their like money writer. And Ooh, she basically me. Is talking about what you just said, like you'll have nice hair or you'll have a manicure.
Yes.
You'll always, because that means that you're like seeing someone twice a week. And so yeah. I think the point of like really rich people kind of looking like slobs, but at the same time, like very expensive slobs, like
mm-hmm. they like might Supreme be hoodies.
Supreme hoodies, or she, like Anna Delvey, would wear Alexander Wang leggings.
Yes,
yeah. So that,
but she only
is
had like
cheap.
One pair of leggings that she wore all the time. Whoa. But it doesn't matter. Like that's what she did. And
listen, yeah, my leggings are from Target, so it's like
mine are from Amazon.
So yeah, I get it.
Well, my aunt was in like 70s, late 70s in New York City. And she was super, super poor. And she rented out the maid's quarters in one of these really, really fancy apartment buildings. And so it was this like tiny hovel that didn't even have a bathroom in it. And that, or maybe had one bathroom that was like a part of the kitchen. And she would have her dates drop her off there, but not go inside because she wanted to look like she had a lot of money. And she said that like rich people never, so she was poor, but like was an aspiring rich actress. And she
an aspiring just, rich person.
Yes, really rich. Me she really too. Wanted to be Me super too. Rich. Yeah, yeah, of course. But she like actually made a study of famous rich people and how they didn't want to wear labels because they didn't want to advertise for any sort of industry or stuff like that. But they wore something that was discreet enough that, and she always told me, the ones who know, and that's who they care about. Mm. So she would wear like, eventually she came into money and she wore a Patek Philippe watch, which is like a very, very expensive watch, but it's like the label's tiny, very little. Like you can almost tell like by the watch dial, like it has like a sapphire or something like so ridiculous, like expensive. And she's like, she's like, I wear it when I go out because you don't want to embarrass anybody who doesn't know, but the people who do know, know. And I remember just, she like, wow. She was a Connor in such a great way. But she really like told me when I was younger, like how people dress, how the rich dress for each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's what I admired so much. Sorry, go ahead, Sue.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's what I admired so much about, I think, all of these scammers is like, there's this kind of latent human desire to have a certain type of life. And like your grandmother's a perfect example. Like she didn't have to go out and like scam everyone, but she took note of like, what are the signifiers you need to make someone think that you have this much money?
Yeah.
And by doing so, like, does that actually help you get that life that you want? One of the things that differentiates, I think, any scammer from someone who's striving for something is the scammers get caught. Like they have these huge aspirations and they have these delusional ideas about what they want their life to be and how they're going to go about getting it, which we both find terrifying but also really admirable.
Yeah.
And as a result,
or like, and they use other people too, like that's something, like you can like go out of the trash and get a Supreme bag, you know, like a shopping bag, and walk around with that. But it's something else. Or if you convince someone to buy it for you and you'll pay them back and you never pay them back. So it's also like on this, we have this like scam scale where you're like, is it terrible or is it okay? But I do think like when you start to really impose and like harm on other people's lives is when it, but I think being, trying to be like thrifty and smart. And my aunt also like had just the same fancy dress she wore over and over again. And like sort of like a Holly Golightly Breakfast at Tiffany's, like you just sort of have the one or two key elements. But what I find so crazy is that like it doesn't, for me, I don't believe like it's just you're it's just constantly empty or constantly faking it. Like you're just constantly having to hold that up. And I think that's why Anna had like such anxiety and needed a personal trainer, life coach.
I love it.
Because it's so empty. Yeah.
But I love your point, Alexis, that scammers are the ones who get caught. Like, yeah, people are all scamming on some level. It's, they just don't get caught. So everyone has an agenda and wants to look a certain way, but it's when they get caught and go to jail that the jig is up. I also want to ask Kate, are you following along? Do you have questions up until now?
I would love to know more about what brands are super fancy and you can get away with scams with. Nobody would know who you're with.
Okay.
So, which I feel like would be great.
No, that's an Alexis question for sure. Yeah. I feel like.
I mean, if we can talk about what certain scammers have worn, obviously Anna, she was into the Celine glasses.
Yes.
So they're really big and chunky. I'm sure that
she did sunglasses and regular like readers.
Yep. I'm sure you could also switch those out with like Tom Ford, which have like a tiny little T in the corner, but you know that
it's
they're
the
very
tiniest
expensive.
Symbols. And those are the things that also, if you are like wealthy and you know it, you would look, your eye would go right to it
and you would know where it was from immediately
and where it would should be.
And so like Alexander Wang, she also shopped at Acne, which is like a Scandinavian Swedish type brand that has pretty basic,
very basic, but
they have
thing.
These beanies which are like hundreds of dollars that I would lose in a second, and you know it's that because there's this little like kind of, I call it like a meh, like emoji face. It's just like two little eyes, and a lot of people wear that. I think any type of like a Celine bag again, or anything that's leather but doesn't have a lot of hardware, like you're not wearing like a Louis Vuitton stamped type of logo bag.
Yeah. Well, like, and the Louis Vuitton, like if you do that, there are ones, they have like a special leather that's like that treated, almost looks like pleather, it's not, but it's like that shiny leather that's treated with
the patent.
Yes, it's, that's the word, it's the patent, but it also like it has like that texture embossed on it. Yes.
Kind of.
You know all my words. A patent emboss on. And it is Louis Vuitton, you can tell, but it doesn't have anything glaring.
Yeah. And then I think I also love the anecdote you brought up about your grandmother and her watch, because it was so subtle.
Oh, my aunt, yeah.
Sorry, your aunt.
Oh, no.
Your
aunt, okay. My grandma wanted that one. No, she didn't.
But, like, cashmere, right? Like, Loro Piano is, like, one of the best Italian mills. And no one would ever really know that. But I think if you can tell, like, the warp or, like, the way in which it's woven, that's kind of a signifier.
There's, like, no pilling whatsoever, you know. And then also, like, one of the scammers in Alexis' article had monogrammed every shirt, was monogrammed.
Yep. So this was like a crazy guy who pretended to be a Rockefeller.
Yeah, we did Varin Bon Rock. Was that him?
No. Clark Chichester. Christopher Chichester.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he was also kind of like your classic scammer who just really studied like human behavior and like how to act in certain like very rich enclaves, because he was going, like, he had like six different personalities or like aliases at a certain point in time. All Ivy League, but he was in this one area, I think in California, and it was all these very rich kind of like country club people, and he would be the dates for like the widows or something crazy, and he just like picked up an accent and would dress to the nines, and when he eventually...
He was also from Germany.
Also, yeah. I wasn't going to bring that up, but I'm like, why do they all come out of Germany?
Wow. Great
I'll talk about
point.
My theories on that. I'll talk about next.
Okay.
I think there's a European theory.
Yeah, we can get to that. But so when he eventually became like the Rockefeller like scam artist, he's living in Boston. He gets caught because he's getting divorced. And like as he's going through the divorce proceedings, he tries to kidnap his daughter.
Right.
And so like an Amber Alert goes out. The police like go to his ex-wife and ask for all this basic information. She doesn't know his social security number.
She doesn't have it.
She doesn't like know like where he's from, like all of these things. And like lo and behold, you find out that he maybe killed someone like in the past
and buried them
very much
and buried them under the pool. Concrete. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's so really quick though. I have this feeling that like other countries like European or Russian or something like the scammers that come out of there, like America is this land of opportunity. And I also don't think they take Americans very seriously. Mm-hmm. It's to them, it's like a relatively new country. And so they're like, I'm just going to get over on these idiots. And Americans are idiots. Not to get political. Everybody hates when we get political. But there's like this, I feel like any sort of foreigner to your native country is so exotic and exciting. And you do sort of like want to go on the ride and you want to be like enveloped in whatever exotic thing that they bring. And there's so many people in America. There's a lot of like lonely people. I mean, just like it's just more to pick from.
Well, there was also that guy that pretended to be a high school student. Did you guys cover him?
What?
Oh, which one?
Yeah, there was a scammer. It was written in GQ. And he was like way over the high school age.
Oh, my God.
And came in and was maybe from Russia and pretended to be a high school student for like a couple of years.
Wow.
Well, that's – and like coming in – like we always say like America is – this like land of opportunity, and so it's an opportunity for a business investor and for a scam artist. And I just
and there's
think,
there's very very
yeah they're close
line between both of those things.
They're so close.
Wow. Let me get back to Anna for a second and just wrap up what happened with her. Okay. So in 2017, she was arrested on 6 charges of grand larceny for scamming wealthy business acquaintances and several hotels. She faced 3 counts of misdemeanor theft of services from the Beekman Hotel, the W downtown, and the Parker Meridian. And when she's like getting these charges, she's still depositing bad checks, which I love the balls of. And then she was arrested in later that summer. When she went to outside of a rehab in Malibu. And then this past April, she was found guilty of second degree larceny, theft of services, and 1 count of first degree attempted grand larceny. She was not found guilty on attempted grand larceny for the $22 million loan she tried to procure. And she was not found guilty on the charge of $60,000 for the Morocco trip. So she's scheduled to be sentenced. She faces up to 15 years in prison, and she will be deported because of her visa overstay.
And she's in prison without bail.
Yeah. And then of Rikers, she said, this place is Rikers Island, the lovely New York City prison. She said, this place is not bad at all, actually. People seem to think it's horrible, but I see it as like the sociological experiment.
So, which is so indicative to her personality and just like what she's been doing this whole time.
Well, these scammers, they think they're so much smarter than everyone. And in a lot of ways, like she is getting things by. Like she has this audacity to like she has her Celine glasses in prison. Like, I guess it's a specific prescription that she said she can't live without. It's like, I'm sure she gives like a bunch of like rigmarole of like how hard it would get it to get in there.
Well,
people.
I mean, she is getting away with it because Shonda Rhimes acquired the rights to her, the story that was published in New York Magazine, Neff's story that was published in The Cut, and she's developing a Netflix original series based on it. So in the end, she is getting away with it and she's winning.
And the judge said that she's like more interested in who's going to play her in the movie than like feeling bad for anything. She's also quoted on saying, there are a couple girls here for financial crimes as well. This one girl, she's been stealing other people's identities. I didn't realize it was so easy. So she is, our producer's jaw just dropped. She is like actually networking, or she's telling us, I don't know. Like, it's also like she could be getting beaten up and not telling anyone, but there is, it does ring true that she is looking at this as like another opportunity to like learn more. And Scarilli, what's that guy's name?
Scarilli.
He had a contraband phone in jail. Yeah. Like, they are scamming to scam. And
it's amazing.
And you'll just put them in any situation, and they'll be fine.
Well, and then, so not only was she concerned on who was going to play her in the movie, she also had a stylist for her courtroom looks, which is amazing.
Right.
And maybe Alexis can speak more to that.
Her lawyer paid for those.
Yes. Right. So her lawyer was Todd Spodek, and he basically hires this celebrity stylist. Her name is, what is her name?
Let me see.
Anastasia Walker. So her clients, were Courtney Love and G-Eazy, and I think she used to be maybe an editor at Glamour magazine. Mm-hmm. So I think before like they even hire this woman, Todd has to have like Anna come into court before I think the jury, so they haven't started trial yet, and he basically like forces someone to go out to H&M and spend $200 on something that didn't scream inmate. And this is like from from one of the newspapers. And then someone came back with like a black blazer, some capris, a beige sweater, and white sneakers. And so then they kind of bring in this woman Anastasia, who puts her in a black Michael Kors shift dress, which she wears with a black choker and her earring or her glasses. And kind of
a lot of cleavage.
Lots of cleavage, kind of like breaks the internet in a minor way. There's like an Instagram account that started for a brief moment. It's like Anna Delvey's court looks. And then she comes in with like Victoria Beckham trousers and a sheer like Saint Laurent top. At another point, like, they're waiting for Anna to get ready because the clothes haven't arrived. And the judge is like, this isn't a fashion show. Like, we can't wait for you anymore.
No.
And,
I didn't know this.
So there is like a whole nother aspect of how dressing plays into scams once they're caught. And for her final look before she was like sentenced or found guilty, she wears a white baby doll dress.
Yes.
With flats and like her glasses.
And a choker.
Yeah. Which has kind of become her signature. But a lot of like really great journalists wrote about it. There's Vanessa Friedman, I think Amelia Petrarca at The Cut, and Vanessa's at New York Times. Rachel Toshtian, who's the GQ style writer, and then Kenzie Bryant, who's also a staff writer at Vanity Fair. So everyone's kind of following her looks and the kind of court, like as we've had like part one of the scams, which is just like them happening, right?
Yeah.
And now it's kind of the court looks. That's its own realm.
The court
and
scams.
So we also, so like we've also seen that with Elizabeth Holmes. She notoriously only wore black turtlenecks. She had 150 supposedly, and they were all Issey Miyake, who's this Japanese designer, which was favored by Steve Jobs, who she like very vocally said like, I'm emulating because you don't need to think about it. And that was $270 for a black turtleneck.
And she had 150 of them.
150, yeah. She says. Wow. And then she shows up to her court hearing, and that is not what she's wearing at all. She's wearing like a blazer, a blue button down. Her hair is also like messy. But even when she's kind of waiting to be in court, she was photographed like with her fiance, who's also a millionaire.
Yeah, of course. Good and for her. They hang out.
Yeah. And she's wearing like Lululemon leggings, like a white T-shirt, a baseball cap, and aviators, just looking like your very typical Silicon Valley
rich girl.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So, and it's,
so was the theory with the baby doll dress that she was trying to look innocent for her sentencing? Mm-hmm. Or
and her sentencing, the lawyer said like she's just trying to live the American dream, like, and he actually quoted Sinatra. Yeah, Sinatra said, I'll make a brand new start in New York. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere.
Oh my God.
Because the opportunities in New York are endless. And he said that she was merely buying time so she could launch a business to repay her debts. Anna had to fake it until she could make it. But that's part of her defense was that like everyone's doing it.
Well, but he also said an integral part to Anna's business was like clothing and style and how she looked, and he wanted the jury to see that.
Oh my God.
So like there is very much this like aspect of the kind of personal selfhood building through clothing being very important to like, I love that he called it her business.
Oh my God. I love it.
In what world is this legitimate business?
Yeah.
Well, we should clarify that, like, you know, this is common that, like, a lot of times people who are on trial, that's why they wear suits and not the jumpsuits is they don't want the jury to see them as inmates. So that's right. Common.
Like a convicted person. Yeah.
And, of course, this is, like, not special to scammers. Like the New York Times had a great piece about like how to look, I think, essentially a kind of convincing or
like believable.
Yeah, it's how I learned to look believable. And this was about a woman who had come forward with like a sexual assault case. And so it's like, how do you dress to make sure that you don't look like you were like asking for it or something like that. And I mean, even with like the Operation Varsity Blues, there's been a lot of attention paid to what Lori Loughlin, is that how you
say it? And she even has it just came out that she had like an image consultant, two image consultants she is now working with. Like
so I think that the dressing to be perceived as in a particular way is not abnormal. I think it's the hiring of the stylist and the so carefully calculated
that's a part of a defense trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it does speak to like, I mean, the reason she was so successful also was because of her clothing, because she lied. Mm-hmm. That is why people just trusted her.
It's part of her business. She,
if you're like, well, this is kind of odd. It's like you don't want to be embarrassed that what you're doing is considered like low class or that you're not up with it. And so a lot of times said if anything was questioned, it was like, oh, well, that's just what rich people do. Mm-hmm. Like I think because there is such a huge void between the two is that if you aren't super wealthy, you just assume like something's wrong with you if you don't understand it. Or if that person's being weird, that's just what the rich do. And you're very flawed because you're not.
Mm.
Which is so, it's just so classist. It's so discriminatory. Mm-hmm. And I just, that is what's interesting. I wonder if, well, I'm sure there's like, there's been stylists in other court cases, but this was just so blatant. And the lawyer was so proud of it.
Yeah. And she also, like we said, with the Michael Kors dress, which was very low, it's not like she was dressing appropriately necessarily outside of like one or two outfits.
Yeah. She was dressing because she knew she'd be photographed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something that's something you also learn like from her like Purple magazine days is they were all about those style opportunities. Also, I can't remember which article it was in, but they said that if you look through her photos, she repeats a lot of stuff, but she has just that one jacket, like that one Rick Owens jacket that every rich person has.
Right.
It might be a
knockoff. The investment piece, as you might call it in fashion.
Oh my God.
So, Alexis, if I'm going to court and I'm on trial, what would be my essential look to be innocent? Like, what should I wear to be innocent?
I don't know.
I know that's a tough
question. I think it depends what you're being tried for. I'm very much not a professional when it comes to being in courtrooms, but I think
Looks very good, guys.
She does.
I'm wearing a blazer right now, so I might recommend wearing a blazer. Okay. I would also probably recommend wearing a shirt that's a little bit higher than the one I'm wearing right now.
I love it, and I love she has cute, like fucking cool socks.
I'm wearing
the fishnet socks.
Oh, but so cool. I think basically anything. Like, I mean, Vanessa Friedman in the New York Times wrote about this, specifically court style, Anna Delvey being one of them, but also Cardi B.
Yeah.
Just anything where you want to convey your, I think, less, you know, skin is better. And I mean, I think even outside of what you should wear, it's this bigger idea of like the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the narrative you're selling to someone? You do that in part through clothing. You do that in part the way you act, the people you know. Sure. And so that's just an extension of how you're telling the story. And of course, like once we get into the courtroom, it's a different type of story than the one that you're doing out there.
Right, but the power you have until you get there.
Yeah, and just the ways to like corroborate the vision that you have to the public. Like how do you do that without saying much? And that's one way in which clothing can help. And I think the thing that was most fascinating to me, like we're like, why are we obsessed with scammers, right? Like, that's the biggest question. Like, why are we talking about them? We get it's bad. We understand that it's, like, conniving. But,
you know, people were hurt.
Yeah, like, but why are we, like, parsing it out through all of these different mediums all the time? And I think it's in part, like, it's human nature. Like, that was what drew me to, like, the style aspect is because, like I said, I grew up very far away from New York. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to work in write-in fashion. I was very good at, like, reading these magazines and understanding like who designers were, like what you should be wearing. And like once I ended up going to NYU, so I was like in the downtown, like looking like you're saying, being in Soho, being like, I'm not cool enough to be here, like getting to New York, being like, I'm not cool enough to be here, but like how do you get there? And just kind of like doing that over and over until like one day I wrote this piece for Vanity Fair, but I'm in my mind, like I didn't do anything but like trick people that I could do this, you know?
Clothing is tricking people, right? It's like you have, they're all sort of like a uniform. I think it's fascinating. Like I will see somebody walk in, like you see like, you know, like mom leisure look, like you see one mom that looks like me. It's just like, there's probably spit up on my shirt, just like getting it together. Clothes aren't really fitting. Sizes. I'm losing my baby weight, but also haven't lost all of it. And then I see a mom that is in like a super tight Lululemon, highlights are perfectly done, this, that. And I'm like, oh, so you have like childcare or your life's together or you're better than me. Like those are all the thoughts I have. But I
wonder if this goes into imposter syndrome. Like we all have that, like, oh, you know, I don't deserve to be here, blah, blah, blah. Especially women when they get ahead, you know, but maybe we're all imposters. It's real deep.
I mean, every time you put on clothing, you're basically saying like, this is what I would like you all to see. I do think it takes a lot of work, and the key to feeling, to giving the air of effortless style is you let nobody know how much work it takes. Like nobody can know, like it's all like secret manicures or like secret spray tans, because part of the commodity is effortlessness.
That's a huge part of it, I think. Like you're saying, the kind of like, no one's wearing makeup but everyone looks amazing, and you're spending like however many dollars an hour is getting a facial so you don't have to wear makeup.
And Anna Delvey was spending like $400 for eyelash extensions, and then $150 for eyelash extension upkeep,
and like $800 on highlights, even though her hair still looked terrible.
Terrible, a mess. Her and Elizabeth Holmes, messy.
And it's, I kind of related to that. I was like, I mean, hair is hard, but you have to.
Hair is hard.
I feel like it's also, some things are also learned by your community. Like, you know, like if everybody's talks about their dermatologist as kids growing up because you're all like loaded, you know.
Here's my advice to scammers. Scammers, get a deep conditioning treatment. First step. And then you'll get away with your crimes. Shorter. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm going to go to Supercuts later. I cannot wait.
I know.
I hate spending.
I haven't had a haircut.
I hate spending money on haircuts. I feel like they're such a fucking scam.
I know. Also, like, I don't know how to, like, not make my hair have crazy frizzies. And I think that it is those incredibly expensive keratin treatments. Like, I think it is a perm that keeps your hair a certain way.
There might be a serum. That's not hundreds of dollars.
There might be.
Okay, Alexis, that's really why you're here, and I appreciate it. Guys, it all came down to it that she's saving my life. I'm going to use her serum.
It's a serum. Which one?
The Oribe Gold Lust.
It's so pretty.
Is that what it is?
It smells really good, too. I would try it.
I'm buying it. Guys, I'm getting on my computer
right now.
I love it. If it doesn't work, I didn't tell you.
Oribe.
Yeah, I have their dry shampoo or their texture spray that smells amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think gold something.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. But then the secret is also to get it done regularly, right? Like you can't get a $400 haircut once. You have to do it like every 2 months.
That's what I do.
So much, like so often, and get your eyebrows done. And this, I mean, it's just crazy. It's just so crazy.
Kate, did we answer all your questions? Did we? Okay.
Oh, wait, I have a question. This is just my personal need. So what is like a piece that if I could have or wear, like a piece of jewelry or blazer or something that would make me not look and feel like such a trash person, like my natural state
trash
of like
person.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm constantly, as I even arrived here late because my baby had a meltdown with the babysitter, like I feel like as I'm leaving my house, I'm just constantly just like gathering everything together. Even on my way to the bus to get here, I'm like putting on lipstick as I'm going. Is there something that is an easy grab to that's very stylish right now that we might not be aware of?
I mean, it's kind of past now, but I'm not gonna lie, Uniqlo Heat Tech turtlenecks.
Wow.
Because then you could just layer anything over it.
Okay.
Like I could have done that. I've done it with this shirt. You can put like a jacket over it. But we're not in spring anymore. But they do have like the Alexander Wang ones that you can look into. But I am a big fan of pants that fit. Like just like the ones that are yours, because then you can do a normal t-shirt that you can tuck in.
Okay.
I like button downs. I mean, of course you can get a black blazer.
Is there any jewelry? Like I know like layering gold necklaces is in.
That's always a thing.
I love to layer a gold necklace.
But I stole all my jewelry from my mom, so.
Yeah. I love it.
She knows, so she can listen to this.
I love it.
Alexis.
I know.
Thank you so much for coming and telling us about Scam Style.
Thank you.
I feel elevated. I feel smart. I'm ready to go out and scam myself.
I'm going
to
go get this hair
serum
later.
That's all I'm doing, guys.
Yeah. I Googled the hair serum. We're purchasing it.
We're purchasing it. Not that expensive. Yeah.
Not that bad. I think, yeah. So the key is like keep your hair tight, you know, do like a good basic makeup look and have a couple like shiny pieces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But or a not shiny pieces.
Oh, no, true. Like a simple palette with a touch of. And because forever was those Michael Kors watches, which aren't in anymore.
Don't.
No.
Alexis 2000s. Like literally turned her nose up. She's like.
I know.
No, guys, I used to have one.
No, that was a thing like in fashion. And you have like a million bangles and it's just made a lot of noise. Arm party.
Used to be in.
I know.
It.
Now it's very delicate.
Yes.
Yes.
Guys, read her work. It's beautiful. She's Thank a great you. Writer and also just so fun to be with.
Yes.
We're so excited. Yeah. This is so great.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm sure there are things we didn't cover.
Listen, we tried to put in facts. We did research. We tried to put in facts. I hope you're happy, okay?
Look, we're not doing the typical just like winging it, making up shit. We actually did research. And if you have any crazy scams that happened to you or any feedback, you can always email us at scamwowpodcast or call us on our hot tip hotline, which is my favorite thing. 347-509-9414. Also, you guys have been sliding into our DMs and I really appreciate it. We've gotten such great stuff and people who've told us that they almost were scammed, but they from like tips that they got on our podcast, they didn't get scammed.
Yes.
I met a bartender who had the same his friend got the same scam as Abby Holland. And he fell for it though. Ugh, so many things are happening.
So thank you so much, you guys. And if you like the podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you don't like it, I just keep that to yourself. That would be great.
Don't comment on our voices. We can't change them.
Please don't comment negatively because we're sensitive beings. We are sensitive sponges. We absorb everything. Please don't comment if it's negative.
We love you guys.
We do love you. Oh my God, that was mean. We do love you. Thank you so much.
No, we love you.
Okay. Okay. Have a great week.
Bye. Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.